Support for NPR comes from this and other NPR stations. Contributors include the Gilchrist Foundation in support of NPR's commitment to coverage of the arts. Good morning. 4 minutes past 7 o'clock, 56 degrees, partly cloudy skies, light and variable wind. With WXBR News, I'm Walt Gander. Voters in Crandon go to the polls today to determine who will be mayor after a successful recall effort was initiated. Ken Krall reports.
Incumbent Mayor Rob Yeager is being challenged by Dennis Rosa. A petition drive gathered more than 200 signatures to ask for the recall. The petition cited political differences with Yeager. After some confusion as to the process, the election was set for today. Crandon City Clerk Cindy Bradley has details on today's vote.
The voting hours are 7 a.m. until 8 p.m., and it's here at City Hall in Crandon, the community building, I guess, also you could call it. It's 601 West Washington Street.
Mayoral terms were extended to 4 years, and Yeager is in his first term. A recall can't happen until the incumbent has spent at least a year in office. If Rosa would win the election, he would take office after filing the paperwork and signing the oath of office. We'll have results for you when they are available. Ken Krall reporting.
Vilas County's circuit court judge laid out the case last week that the county board should lobby for a second judgeship. At the county board meeting, Judge Neil Nielsen said the entire court system in Wisconsin takes up a very small percentage of the state tax dollar.
That figure is, I think, astonishingly low. Most people wouldn't recognize it. And as I said, that's 85 cents of every $100 of state tax revenue goes to the courts.
That includes the state Supreme Court, the appeals court, and paying the judges and court reporters at the local level. He says Vilas County's costs are about $176,000. He says that's just over 1% of last year's tax levy. Judge Nielsen said Vilas is one of just a handful of counties that has one judge to hear all cases. He says the workload is increasing, and at the current pace, the workload for him would be the highest in the state. He says the load at times pressures everyone to move cases along, perhaps faster than they should be.
You can feel the pressure in the room to move this case, to get that. What's the next one? Because we have so many things on the docket.
Nielsen asked the board for a second judgeship and to write the legislature to continue to provide more money for the court. The Rhinelander Food Pantry got a step closer to a new home yesterday as the Golden Harvest Grocery Store opened in its new location. But as WXPR's Natalie Jablonski reports, there's still a few months of work ahead before the food pantry can open its new doors.
The former Golden Harvest Grocery building on Coon Street sits nearly empty as the store finishes a move to a new building more than twice as large. Golden Harvest owner Timothy Konjerski says until now the store was bursting at the seams.
We had aisles that were not even quite 3 feet wide in some places here. We couldn't fit in here. Our customers couldn't fit. The parking lot was too full. We had to get out of here. It was not a choice.
But what was too small for one operation is a huge upgrade for another, in this case, the Rhinelander Food Pantry. It will provide a welcome 50% more space and allow for more storage, a seating area, and better workflow.
We should have room to actually pull a pickup truck right inside through this door so that we can unload inside instead of now we're unloading outside in the rain.
As Rhinelander Food Pantry Director Guy Hansen explains, there is still a lot of work to be done.
The major renovation is going to be to put a new roof on and put insulation in the roof. That's done first. The major work on the inside will be to put the wall up to separate the storage area from the distribution area.
The building project still needs state approval because it involves structural changes. Hansen says that should come next month. The Rhinelander Food Pantry has almost reached its capital campaign goal of $150,000 to help pay for the building. It's also received a matching grant from the USDA for up to $26,000 in equipment, like shopping carts, tables, and pallet movers. The food pantry hopes to move into the new building in October. For WXBR News, I'm Natalie Jablonski.
Companies that get state tax breaks for creating jobs would have to tell the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation if they send jobs to other countries. That proposal comes from Assembly Minority Leader Peter Barca. He said under current Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation rules, most subsidies would end once an agency learns that such a firm is involved in outsourcing. Governor Scott Walker said he supports some type of anti-outsourcing measure. That's after his campaign finance report showed contributions from businesses which move jobs overseas, while criticizing his Democratic opponent Mary Burke because her family-owned company did the same. Barca also said the WEDC should make companies which apply for tax breaks vouch for the fact that the projects would not go ahead without government aid. Firms would also have to let the state know about any changes in their projects after the grants are awarded. In sports, Tampa Bay beat Milwaukee 2-1 in St. Petersburg last night. The Brewers cut their National League Central Division lead to 1.5 games over idle St. Louis, 2 over Pittsburgh. Tampa hosts Milwaukee again tonight. Pittsburgh beat San Francisco 5-0. Arizona over Cincinnati 2-1 in 15 innings. It was the Cubs over Colorado 4-1. Look for a partly sunny day. There's a chance of rain. Highs forecast lower 70s. Northwest winds around 5 miles per hour. Currently light and variable winds, sunshine, partly cloudy skies, 56 degrees. The time is 10 minutes past 7. This is WXPR News.